Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. Chris, let's start off by talking about the oil market. Crude is having a good day so far today, up almost $1.50, closing in on that $50 a barrel level for crude, but not quite there yet, still $49.38. This is coming off of what could be at least a short-term bottom from about 2 weeks ago, which was $42.36. What do you think about this overall oil sector in terms of the bounce and the possibility that that $42.36 number be bottom for at least, who knows, a couple months?
Well, Corey, we've talked about it before. Oil prices, as much as or really more than most other commodities or asset classes, tend to overshoot one way or the other because there's so much speculative money that gets in there. You know, you go back to 2008, I've repeated it a million times. In several months' time, you had oil go from over $140 a barrel down to $30 a barrel, and neither of those extremes represented what the market should fundamentally have been. And though maybe less in relative terms, my view is as we dropped below 50 and kept crashing in the recent past for oil, it was overshooting one more time to the downside. There was no legitimate fundamental reason for oil to have dropped that low unless you think that we are right now, all of us, going into a new global recession. I don't think we're quite at that point yet. And so I think that the market now, that the Fed is taking itself off the table for all practical purposes as an acutely bearish factor. Good news on China on a couple of fronts, so that's encouraging. So if that latter also holds, or the things that we've seen that have started to look promising come to fruition, then we should see, you know, crude oil get back to the upper 50s, maybe the low 60s a barrel, which is about where it should be these days, in my opinion, given fundamentals. And if we do that, then, as I've said for a while, and I was early on some of these things and it didn't come about as quick as I thought, but there are going to be some monster gains in a lot of energy stocks in the near term. Some of them have already started. I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff that's moved 20% off of the bottoms already, and that's baby stuff compared to what's coming if this stays healthy and, better still, gets healthier.
Any certain sweet spot within these oil stocks that you're focusing on?
The safest ones are still the pipelines, the master limited partnerships, the infrastructure type companies that got beat up with all the rest, but in relative terms were the least deserving. I think that some of the larger exploration and production companies with the better cash flow, the better dividends. Recently, I added one of them back to my list that I had a long time ago. I'm looking at a few other ones. I think that even though my gut tells me that energy services are still dirt cheap, until we see the price recover much more, you're probably not going to see as much traction from them. There's some speculative money that's bottom fishing and trying to get some quick trades, but they're fickle. They shouldn't be, but they are. So, you know, that's kind of the pecking order as far as the lower to the higher risk.
So do you have a general level that you're watching or at least expecting the crude price to get to during this rebound that solidifies your thought that that sell-off was overdone, but also at the same time, maybe we're not going to get back into the mid to high 70s anytime soon?
I think psychologically the market needs to close well above 50 for a couple or 3 days to get some institutional money back in. It's still a little bit sheepish about it. But again, I think that fundamentally, and I'm assuming number one, that the Fed is true to its recent word and stays on its sitting on its hands for a while and is ready to help out if need be. That's number one. Number two, we get some decent action on trade from China. Then I think that we go back to 60, give or take a little bit.
Okay, Chris, let's also look at the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar is down again today, trading at 95.76, so drop below that 96 level. It's been a general rollover that we have seen in the dollar ever since that peak at the very beginning of December. There's still a lot of dollar bears around, and I keep on hearing negative comments regarding the dollar. But the fact of the matter is this sell-off has not at least yet been devastating or very steep. What do you think about this gradual rollover we've seen in the dollar so far?
I've said for a while that my confidence has gone up fairly dramatically in recent weeks, that the 97.5 level or thereabouts on a dollar index was probably going to hold. And again, this is assuming the outlook that I've laid out on both the Fed and on China and trade. So that doesn't mean we're going to see a precipitous drop. You know, dollar bears are always dollar bears because they're trying to sell something, or they're the same types as the Prectors and Dents and Schiffs and the rest of the world that come hell or high water, their story never changes. And they hope that eventually circumstances come about and make it look like they know what they're talking about and prove them correct. So I think that the markets are going to be happy and judge it a moral victory if right now we see the dollar soften a bit. But I don't look for any kind of a collapse, because in relative terms, we've still got the world's best economy of every major developed economy. And you've still got a lot of problems elsewhere. And I'll say it again today, Corey. Why the euro is rallying is beyond me, because you've heard this already. The European Central Bank is going to turn that currency into the equivalent of the Venezuelan currency when all is said and done, in order to keep this cockamamie political experiment alive, period. So, and anybody that would, you know, maybe a trade for a few days, or if somebody at the Fed really had soiled underwear and decides they're going to panic and bring back QE sooner rather than later, okay, maybe you get a little pop and a short-term trade here and there in the euro. But come on, the dollar is still the best of a bad lot, and there's no fundamental reason for it to weaken a whole lot. The important thing now is that unless some fears resume in the global economy, or you have some liquidity crisis that drives people into dollars, then it probably has peaked for now, and that's good enough.
Yeah, and hey, it has, or it was, quite a good year in 2018. If the dollar solidifies somewhere around this level, or at least establishes this higher trading range, I think that would almost be better for the markets rather than what we had in 2017, which was a dollar that went almost straight down. 2018, strong dollar. It's been kind of all over the place in the last couple of years. And on the back of some of your comments regarding Europe, we got some more economic data and investor sentiment data that both came in quite weak. The November data on the industrial side for Germany, factory orders fell 1% versus the estimate of just a 0.1% drop. So can you make a quick comment too on how we're seeing weakness in some of the larger economies in Europe, rather than a couple of years ago when we were seeing such countries as Greece being the weak ones? Now it's the more established larger economies in Europe struggling.
Well, Corey, this has been going on for a while. The continent, the overall Eurozone economy, when you mash it all together, is farther along the road of the process of what some have quipped as Japanification, where you have just such gargantuan debt levels compared to the ability of the Eurozone to service those debts. You get bogged down, and the European Central Bank continues to throw more and more money at things. I've said it several times recently. It's a lie on their part that they are not still buying sovereign debt. They're doing it through the back door with their open market operations. They have no choice but to do that. The only thing they've ratcheted down is their front door QE programs, but they're still doing it, and they have to do that. So that doesn't mean interest rates spike up. I mean, look at Japan. Japan has got the highest debt to GDP level and has had for many, many years of developed nations. But interest rates are nothing. Inflation is nothing, because for all of the money that the Japanese central bank has to print to keep it all at equilibrium, that's about all you get is equilibrium. And their economy's not growing. They're not doing anything. They've got a demographic problem over there. And Europe has got all of those same things, but just to a somewhat lesser extent. But they're going down that road. Ultimately, the rest of us will be also, which is something that a lot of those people predicting we're going to have a rebellion in the bond market, interest rates are going to spike, that ain't ever going to happen. As far as sovereign debt is concerned, other debt will happen. So we'll see what happens. The interesting thing near term that might buy everybody some time, as I've pointed out, is that the Chinese and U.S. trade talks look like a breakthrough is coming. That is also something that's taken a little bit of the steam out of the U.S. dollar, because over the last year, part of the dollar's bullishness was fear over, you know, weakening global growth and the trade war and stuff like that. And that will take a little bit of starch also out of the dollar. In fact, on China, Corey, I'll point out that anybody who listened to Wilbur Ross this morning, who's Trump's Commerce Secretary, you thought you were listening to what I've been saying for weeks, because now they have put together this multi-part path, if it comes off, to getting at least some of this trade war behind us. We'll see. That's something that's going to require a separate conversation, I think. I wish we had time for it today.
Well, that is a key point that's happening this week, is U.S. and China at the negotiating table. And it speaks to what I think a lot of people are watching, and that is if anything can happen on that front. What about the overall market, though, here, Chris? Let's wrap it up with a comment on that. Where do you see the smart money going? Where do you see worried money going? What's the overall theme that you're still looking at in terms of these markets that even today are bouncing, but they're not having, or at least we're not expecting, a 1,000-point day in the Dow?
The overall theme is that we are going back to the healthier environment that we started to have a couple of times last year, Corey, where traders are looking at a more subdued growth picture. They're looking at maybe a stagflation-like type of environment going forward. It'll be of a market that, by and large, remains liquid, where the fears of deflation and a new global synchronized recession are lessened if the Fed and China things come off favorably. And even at the low this morning, which didn't last too long, we were down triple digits on a Dow for a brief time, down a little bit on the S&P 500. But even then, small caps were up 0.5%. And as I commented last week on one or two occasions, almost everything on all the portfolios I followed, Corey, was green, even at the low for the Dow and the S&P. So there is still some evidence developing that money managers and individual investors alike are not as panicked as they were at the end of last year. They're realizing maybe they overdid things on the pessimism side, and they're shopping. They're selling stuff that's expensive. They're buying stuff that's cheap. They're buying stuff that has got good earnings, good cash flow, good dividends. And in short, they're behaving like investors are supposed to behave. I hope it lasts.
So do I, Chris, but that is the question right now. And hey, we have a 2019 in front of us where traders definitely are reevaluating their game plans, and they started that all last year. Chris, good chatting with you. Thanks for breaking down and kicking off this week with some comments on the markets and the energy sector.